Well, plenty of bats, and we'll be pretty hungry for runs. Next time, the CA 11 are out in the middle, because yesterday a few missed opportunities and a few people took theirs, although they're not in the test squad. Brett Stubbs was down there. He's part of the Hobart, or the Mercury down in Tasmania, and he joins us on the line this morning. Brett, good morning and welcome to RSN 927.
Good morning, guys. How are we going?
Very well. Now, a few big opportunities missed from a few of our key candidates. Run us through what happened yesterday as the CA 11 took on Sri Lanka in Tasmania.
Yeah, there'd be four batsmen in the test squad absolutely kicking themselves from yesterday. So, obviously, it's a three-day trial game against the touring Sri Lankans. It's not actually a first-class game. The Sri Lankans are using all their 16 man squad throughout the game, obviously using the pink ball. They agreed to 75 overs each in the first innings. Australia won the toss and batted. There was a little bit in the wicket early, as you'd expect on the first day, but the four test players, Matt Renshaw, Joe Burns, Manus Lubiszczyk and Will Pekowski, unfortunately they all missed out, and that left Curtis Patterson and Jake Doran to really... It's not a very highly credentialed Sri Lankan bowling attack, you've got to say, and they made the most of it, putting on about 218-run partnership unbeaten.
Yeah, it looked like Joe Burns, almost not a lot of footwork, almost giving catching practice into the slips there. Just sort of
Right. Joe Burns pushed off the back foot, and it was an excellent catch taken at third slip. Lubiszczyk chopped on off the back foot again. Renshaw, a little defensive prod to first slip, and Will Pekowski, he batted quite well to the first break, and then straight after the break, they was a bit of a short ball barrage. It was about three in a row, and the third one, he went for the hook shot and got a top edge and went straight to fine leg. So he made 23. He looked really good till then, but obviously it was interesting also to note that both the Sri Lankans and we spoke to Curtis Patterson afterwards, who batted superbly, both said how soft the ball got and it made batting so much easier. So if they got through that first stage, they would have made hay.
I know Kookaburra have made a few changes to the ball again this summer as well, just to try and minimise the damage over a period of time. So interesting comments there after the day's play. Will Pekowski, I'm interested in as well. You said they bounced him a couple of times. Was that a clear tactic from the Sri Lankans? And are you expecting that to continue throughout the summer if he gets a few more opportunities at test level?
Yeah, we spoke to the Sri Lankan coach afterwards, and he said that it wasn't a clear plan, but now it's something that... certainly going to consider going to if he plays in the first test. So it's certainly something they've put in their little book for come at the Gabba, when it would probably be a bit faster and a bit bouncier than down here at Bunston Arena. So it's certainly something they've got in the back of their mind. And it's interesting you mentioned the Kookaburra balls, because the Sri Lankan coach was saying that the previous pink test they played in Barbados was the juke ball. The one that they played in, they said it was a noticeable difference between how soft the Kookaburra got compared to the pink juke ball.
Many people turn up down at Blundstone for the occasion?
It wasn't a huge crowd, it's fair to say. It was probably people wandering in and out during the day. It was a beautiful day down here, but probably a few hundred. It was free entry, but a bit of sting goes out of the game when it's not a first-class match. Players were coming on and off the field quite regularly. They used all their bowlers, the Sri Lankans. So, it was played at a fairly intense level, but not the usual first-class level, it's fair to say.
And great to have you on board on the show. Obviously, you're famous for one thing, and that's that little run-in with Clarko a few years back. We'll never forget that down there. How's the relationship with Clarko now?
It's an interesting one. We've never really chatted about it. He rang me up after it to have a chat about it, but it keeps get raised fairly regularly.
Does it? Well, I don't even know what happened. What happened?
Well, Stubbs will take you through it. Yeah, it was well known. It was probably, 7 years ago, I would have thought?
It was 2008, so 10 years ago now, and they lost their first game of the season to Steve O's Bulldogs down at, in Launceston. It was about round 10 or something, and... Even that first loss in round 10, Clarko was pretty fired up.
No doubt about that. Now, let's get back to the cricket side of things. In terms of the team and the setup, is there any sort of word amongst the Australians in terms of which way they're selecting or who the bat-off might be between? We read through the a few different reports through the week that it might actually be between Renshaw and Pekowski, but the logical thing would be it's a bat-off between Burns and Renshaw. Have you got any more insight on that being around the squad?
Yeah, there's not too much info being given. I mean, obviously there's one spot in the top of the order and that one spot in the middle of the order between the three of them. I mean, obviously, if they're going to stick with Marnus Lubis-Jange at number three, I mean, surely that's no certainty. He's only played the one test there. But there's so many question marks around Australian batting at the moment, and there doesn't seem to be too many obvious answers. So that sort of adds to the intrigue, I think.
Selectors down there are hanging around, sort of having afternoon tea and the full catering down there.
Yeah, Greg Chappell's down here. He's watching the game. So I'm not sure what he would have taken out of yesterday, but he would have taken out that Curtis Patterson can't be too far away. He's averaging just under 48 in Shield cricket this year, and he was, you know, he batted superbly yesterday, brought up his 100 and 150 balls, and considering that, you know, the CA11 were 3 for 25 at one stage, then 4 for 88. It was a superb innings. He never gave a chance. A lot of boundaries, especially through the offside. And he looks like a real red ball cricketer, if that makes sense.
Yep.
He doesn't play Big Bash. He's on the Thunder's list, but he hasn't got a game. And he said that worked to his advantage in this case. You know, for the last week, he's been working on his red ball cricket and not worrying about playing reverses and laps and trying to hit the ball from ball one.
Yeah, interesting that he's said that. One last one before you let you go, Brett. Just the attitude towards cricket in Tasmania today, especially the Australian team, because I know we've spoken a lot over this summer in Melbourne about people becoming a little bit disenfranchised with the selection, and obviously Matthew Wade has been a big story throughout the summer as well, and his non-selection even in the Australian squad, let alone the 11. What's been the attitude down in Tasmania?
Yeah, there's certainly been dismay, I think. There's some confusion about the comments why Matthew Wade wasn't picked, that he bats at number six, you know, that they only want to play one keeper batsman. It sort of doesn't stack up. I mean, if they think he's not up to test cricket and they've moved on from Matthew Wade, who's 31, well, that's probably fair enough. But to say he bats number six, like, he's been batting quite early for Tasmania, due to it's normally a pretty juicy wicket down here. But He's making the runs. So if they say runs are currency, well, he's got the most currency in Australia at the moment. And isn't that what we're looking for? Someone who's batting at number six with a bit of grit and who can hold down a spot, who can bat with a tail, who can bat with a top-order batsman if they're still in and going. So, I mean, there's a bit of confusion around that and a bit of disappointment on his behalf, I suppose, that he's doing everything right and, he's not being selected, you know. They obviously didn't even pick him for this CA11 because I suppose it's safe and some embarrassment if he come out and made another 100 in that and he wasn't in the test squad. So, yeah, so it's interesting times.
Mm. Spoken like a real Tasmanian.
No,
I love it, Stubbsy. I'm with
totally
you.
Totally yeah. with Stubbsy there. Absolutely with you.
It is bizarre.
It is completely confusing, and the comments post the non-selection only make it even more confusing. Brett, thanks so much for your time today. Enjoy the cricket over the next couple of days down there in Tassie.
No worries. Thanks very much, guys.
Brett Stubbs from the Mercury.
There. Great old school journo, Brett Stubbs.
I enjoy
he asked the hard
his
questions after the
whenever there's a big story out of Tasmania, he's all over it. He's the man.
I reckon it'd be a great job, actually, to be the head sports writer down in Hobart. So you get a lot of good sport coming through, and it's still a relaxing lifestyle.
I also think they'd have a greater connection to their teams because I reckon the access might be a little better.
Yep.
I compare that when I work at the A-League sometimes, the access we get in Melbourne, the Victory are fantastic,
yep.
But the access that we get even post-match is far less than, say, Central Coast or the Newcastle Jets. They just give everyone to everyone, but we don't get much of a chance.
Even the Victory.
Yep. Oh, the Victory are very good.
What about
very
Honda?
No, I haven't spoken to KSK Honda yet.
Yeah.
His English isn't 100% yet, so I'm not sure he'd be a great interview on radio.
Yeah. No, I see him driving around a lot down there. Yep.
Honda?
Yep. In a Kia.
Kia?
No, Hyundai.
Sorry. Major sponsor.
Honda in a Hyundai, yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
He's had his...
Seems a very happy type of chap. But interesting, always worker. Down there, obviously we're down there a lot for Collingwood and Melbourne. There's autograph hunters there, Japanese tourists,
yeah.
Non-stop.
Now, this is the incredible thing. I reckon every Victory game I go to, there'd be 150 people with Honda shirts every time I walk into the stadium. That's just on my walk from Richmond Station to
People
Amy
travel
Park.
From Japan just to get his autograph.
Yeah.
That's part of their schedule, part of the itinerary when he's you're on holidays in Australia.
He's a big dude. Actually, if we make the Asian Cup final against Japan, we'll try and get a couple of minutes with him. Even though he's not as fluent. He's unbelievable because he played in over in Italy, so he speaks a little bit of Italian, speaks a bit of Spanish as well, and his English is pretty good now as well.